Venerable religious, dear parishioners, and dear attendees of the Vocations Weekend. By the way, normally I would not be here on the second Sunday of the month, but Father Philip has been battling the flu quite a bit this week. He is getting better, but I had to cancel my trip to Redmond, Oregon, in order to fill in for him. But at any rate, today I would like to talk about vocations. I always want to give at least one Sunday sermon during March on vocations. And I would like to focus more on vocations to the priestly life, the priestly vocation, and the religious life. So this would be for those that are called to be brothers and sisters who take vows in a religious order or congregation. And I would begin by saying that according to Pope St. Pius X, mothers in particular have a powerful influence on the vocations of their children. And in the case of Pope St. Pius X, his father died when he was pretty young, and his mother finished raising him and his siblings. And he had, of course, a calling to the priesthood. He would end up becoming the vicar of Christ on earth and also become a canonized saint. But one of his sayings was, a vocation comes from God, but it goes through the heart of the mother. So this is not official church teaching. You know, where he didn't mean it as such, where you have to accept it like as, you know, an official definition of some dogma or doctrine. But he's certainly entitled to his opinion, and this is a pope, this is a canonized saint who talks about how special that influence is on the part of a mother. And he certainly experienced that from his own mother. She instilled, as a good Catholic mother does, those deep, pious Catholic values, that love of God. Not to say that the father doesn't do this at all. Of course not. He has his role to play. But there's something about the mother that is particularly helpful. And obviously, the more Catholic, the more spiritual, the more holy the mother is, it cannot but have a great effect to the good upon her children. And yes, inspire one or more of them to give their whole lives to God in response to the calling to be a priest, a brother, or a religious sister. I want to share with you, and I've probably told you about this before, but this is the story of the mothers of Lou. And that's an interesting word for a city, Lou. And it's not the full name. I looked it up once. It does have a longer name, but most of the time it's called by those two letters, L-U. The little village of Lou in northern Italy, with only a few thousand inhabitants, is in a rural area 90 kilometers east of Turin. So it's between Turin, where St. John Bosco, St. Dominic Savio were, and Venice, that was the area of Italy from where Pope St. Pius X came. So this little village is in between those cities. It would still be unknown to this day if in the year 1881 the family mothers of Lou had not made a decision that had great consequences. The deepest desire of many of these mothers was for one of their sons to become a priest or for a daughter to place her life completely in God's service. Under the direction of their parish priest, Monsignor Alessandro Canora, they gathered every Tuesday for adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, asking the Lord for vocations. They received Holy Communion on the first Sunday of every month with the same intention. Back then, communion was much more rare. It was Pope St. Pius X who would promote the idea of daily Holy Communion. After Mass, all the mothers prayed a particular prayer together, imploring for vocations to the priesthood. Through the trusting prayer of these mothers and the openness of the other parents, an atmosphere of deep joy and Christian piety developed in the families, making it much easier for the children to recognize their vocations. So, anyway, I don't have the picture where I can show it to you, but it's a picture of hundreds of priests and religious who gathered for a group photo. And this is, again, just since 1881. So in 1946, that was after World War II. Obviously, things would not been possible during the ravages of the war, but there was a gathering of the priests and religious that came from this village, and there were 323 priests who came for a reunion. And this didn't count all of them, because this would not include, for example, those religious and priests that were completely cloistered, like Carmelites. They wouldn't have been given permission to travel like that. But imagine that, just from one small village, 323 priests and religious. Did the Lord not say, many are called, but few are chosen? In other words, many are called, but only a few respond to that call. No one expected that God would hear the prayers of these mothers in such an astounding way. From this tiny village of Lu came that many vocations. 152 priests, diocesan religious, and 171 nuns belonging to 41 different congregations. As many as three or four vocations came from some of these families. So it was multiple vocations. The most famous example is the Rinaldi family, from whom God called seven children. It is certainly not a coincidence that St. John Bosco visited Lu four times during his life. The saint attended the first Mass of his spiritual son, Father Philip Rinaldi, in this village where he was born. Philip always fondly recalled the faith of the families of Lu, a faith that made our fathers and mothers say, "The Lord gave us our children, and so if he calls them, we can't say no." And this was an example of a short prayer that the mothers would say. And I'm happy to say that in our own parish, some of the mothers do this on Sundays, either individually or in a group. And they are offering this prayer or a similar prayer for vocations, for the great gift, the priceless gift of a calling to the priesthood or the religious life. This is the prayer. O God, grant that one of my sons may become a priest. I myself want to live as a good Christian and want to guide my children always to do what is right, so that I may receive the grace, O God, to be allowed to give you a holy priest. As I said, a vocation is a priceless gift because it's an invitation to be in the highest state of life of the three vocations: the religious, the married, and the single. And they're all true callings. And the ones that receive the calling to the priesthood and or the religious life, they receive essentially what the apostles were called to. The apostles were called to leave family behind, to leave their own plans behind, to leave property behind, to give it away and not own things personally. So it's a special invitation from our Lord. And yes, it is a sacrifice. But what vocation doesn't involve sacrifice? Of course, it's more upfront, you might say, the sacrifices. But we must not focus so much on the sacrifice aspect that we fail to see the inestimable reward there is that basic principle, the more you give, the more you receive. It's a paradox. It doesn't seem to work, but it really does. And that's why our Lord, when St. Peter asked him, Lord, what will we receive for following thee? He said to him, you will receive the hundredfold. And that's not in terms of, obviously, worldly success or material possessions or pleasure. They left those behind. But it's especially in the things that matter the most, the spiritual values, the spiritual treasures. That's what they receive. And yes, God provides for them in the temporal way even. It's all part of the hundredfold. So as you can see, it is a tremendous blessing for the individual young man or woman to be called in this way. But vocations go beyond just the personal benefit. They are a tremendous blessing for others. I've seen this over and over again. Every family that has a religious vocation is blessed in special ways because of the vocation, because of that son or daughter or more. They are channels of grace. To the extent they live their vocation, they are channels of grace and blessing for their families and for many others. Every single religious, priest, religious sister, religious brother, you know what they are? They are a walking advertisement for eternity. They automatically lift up people from the mundane and the earthly. And they say there are values worth giving your whole life for. Religious, especially by their vocation, can focus on preparing for eternity through their vows and their way of life. Many dangers to salvation are removed. It's not a guarantee, of course, to salvation, but many special helps are given. As I was reading the epistle today, St. Paul is lamenting those sins that will absolutely keep people out of heaven and will condemn them to hell. And he talks specifically about the sins against the sixth and ninth commandments. Ironically, he says, let it not be even named among you. And then he goes ahead and talks about it because there's a need. Even in that time, many souls were going to hell because of the sins of the flesh. And now the world is drowning, absolutely drowning in the sins of the flesh. And what do you, whenever you see a religious, a man or woman who has taken that vow of chastity, is saying, yes, it's possible to live in a pure way, completely pure way, as the unmarried are called to. And to live a life of love. Our world has so messed up the word love. And by that they mean gratification, or many times, gratifying sinful proclivities. That's what they've literally equated with the word love. And love is a good thing and has been perverted. So again, when you see a religious who says, yes, I've given up many things that the world has to offer, and I'm giving my whole life to God. And marriage is a good and a holy thing. It's a sacrament for the baptized. But again, it's not as high a calling. They give up the good of marriage for that higher calling. So let us be convinced of the uplifting effect that every single religious has through living his or her vocation. They are channels of grace in ways that they would not be if they were not religious. Let me point to St. Thérèse of Lisieux, this beautiful stained glass window that we have. And I've told you this before, but why do we have a Carmelite saint here in this chapel that was built for the Jesuits? Why? Because one of the early, one of the Jesuits from this area, Father Cremant, was sent up to Alaska to be the diocesan ordinary, even before he was actually consecrated a bishop. He originally came from France, and he knew members of the Martin family. So he had a great devotion to Saint Therese, even before she was canonized, and so he made her the patroness of all of Alaska, which was his mission territory. And then later on, he was consecrated a bishop, and his coat of arms is there. But he really loved Saint Therese. And so we see below a Jesuit missionary on the right-hand side with a little golden cross, and then one of the native Alaskans there. And of course, you have to be very warmly dressed. But the point I wanted to make is, look at Saint Therese. Once she entered that Carmelite convent, she never left it. But look at the influence that she has had on the entire world, one of the most popular saints of all time. She considered herself a spiritual mother to many souls, and through her Carmelite life of love and prayer and sacrifice, she was saving countless souls. And she said, "I will spend my heaven doing good on earth." And and so many of her devotees talk about the rose that they receive in answer to some prayer that they make to her. But again, look at what even a completely cloistered vocation does. It transforms the world. Of course, she's a canonized saint. But every religious house, especially the contemplative religious, they are like powerhouses. Like, where does our electricity come from? Here in the Pacific Northwest, it's mainly from hydroelectric power. And those generators are turning. We don't even think about them, but if they stop turning, the electricity wouldn't be there. So anyway, just wanted to share these thoughts with you my sermon on vocations. Let us pray for more vocations, and let us thank God for the vocations that we do have, and let us realize they are, again, not just a tremendous blessing for the individual, but they are a blessing for the parish, for the church, and yes, even for the whole world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.